The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Next Best Thing with Linda C. Thompson. This show will intrigue and inspire you and keep you on the pulse of what's going on in healthcare, politics, the arts, and more. Now, here's your host, Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome to The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. At The Next Best Thing, we cover the entire spectrum of experience, from healthcare to holiness, lollipops to loving, technology to twirling. If it's an issue to you, we find those who know. We have a rare treat and are so privileged to be visiting with Claudette Roche, known as the Accent Coach, the most in demand in Hollywood, so she has great stories if she'll tell them to us, and such a veteran of stage and screen, works with corporate executives. I'm not going to give away any more because she's too wonderful in her own, using her own words. Claudette, welcome. How are you?
I am having such a fabulous day. I really am. And this is like the highlight of the day. So thank you very much. Very happy.
Well, here we go. So is it, I said Roche. Now I was taking a wild guess. Is it Roche?
No, there's
is it
Roche?
You're in Texas, I suppose.
And actually, this really is actually a little bit of an accent lesson, because here in America, the name is Claudette Roche, R-O-C-H-E. Now, there's no accent on the E, so it's not Roche, and there's no R on it, so again, it's not Roche. But in truth, if this were really, if we were doing the name properly, the entire name would not be Claudette, it would be Claudette, because it's French, and Roche would be, it's a French name and it means rock, and it would be Roche. So my name really should be pronounced Claudette Roche. But we're in America, so it's Claudette Roche.
Oh.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it?
I love that. And, you know, this, you really hit at the heart of why accents, I mean, yes, accents are certainly important when an actor is preparing for a role, and we want to hear about that. But we are, in case anybody's noticed, we're facing some challenges these days in the world. And you work in the executive and the corporate world as well. And
yes.
One of the things is, if we can't get people sitting down talking in a way that they can understand each other, that makes meaning, we don't have a chance of solving these problems.
100% I agree with you. I have a student presently. She's from Mexico. Her accent is beautiful. It's just scrumptious. But she's now living in the United States, and she's going into the world of politics. And she wants to make sure that people understand every word she says. Therefore, she's come to me to work on that so that she's more American sounding.
Do people come to you wanting to sound more American when they go into the business world? And if I'm assuming a yes answer to that, and if it is, why is that an advantage?
It's an advantage because what you just said is communication is key. And if you're trying to give me information and I'm only processing 40% of it, what was the point of it? And also, you want, even if I'm getting some of the information and some, let's say your accent isn't that heavy, even if there's some slight accent, my brain might be trying to process, oh, I wonder where this person's from. Oh, how cute when he said such a thing.
Right.
So therefore, I'm now still not listening to your information.
Because we all know that, you know, this is truly based on cognitive psychology research, that while we know that our million-plus listeners are listening with, you know, everything, to every word we say, every golden nugget dripping out of our mouths, they're also thinking about five different things at the same time. Because that's the way the human mind works.
Exactly. You know, so I'm trying to take at least one of those thoughts out. Because if that person's thinking, oh, I wonder if they're from France. Oh, I love France. I love French food. And now you're continuing to talk, but now they're on to some other topic in their brain. So my goal is to eliminate the chatter inside the head. And as I said, you know, communication is so important. I have this wonderful student. We actually haven't even started yet. He's starting this weekend. He's from Taiwan. And he works in a dental office. So therefore, he really must communicate to the patients, you know, the correct information.
Yes.
And so he called me and he asked me if he could work with me. And I said, of course you can work with me. He lived quite far from me. And I said, you know, you live far. This is how you would get here. And he said, I'll take the bus. And I said, ooh, take the bus.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, this is Los Angeles. You don't want to take the bus.
Because, I mean, you spend a day doing that.
Really, exactly. Los Angeles bus system, I don't care who's listening, is not wonderful. And I said, it's too far. You live too far. He said, no, I really want to. So I gave him the directions, and he's coming this Saturday. But what he did last Saturday was he got on the bus from where he lives and took the route to see how long it would take him. Because this is how important it is that he arrives here on time for his lesson with me this coming Saturday.
Yes.
He didn't want to waste a minute of my time because it's so important to him to learn to speak clearly so that people can understand him. He is taking this very, very seriously.
And that
kind of dedication, I just applaud him. I am so impressed with that.
That's great. Because I was going to say, is that kind of rare that people are that dedicated, or is that a norm for you in the work you do?
I would say it's the norm. It's the norm.
I would think so.
Yeah, I had another student. He's an actor, actually, and he is from England, so he's perfectly understandable, yet he needs to play Americans, and his car broke down. And I said, well, never mind, let's see, you know, we'll reschedule. And he said, nope, I'm going to take the bus. And I said again, oh, dear, dear, dear.
Oh, you're going to be lost for the bus
and
on the bus forever. You're going to be circling.
Yeah, but he took the bus, and I think it took him, it probably took him about 2.5 hours to get to me. But it was important to him. So it's the norm. When people want something and they realize that this thing that they can fix, that they can amend, they can learn something that will help them grow and achieve their goals, achieve their dreams. And for me, when a client, a student achieves that, that's my success.
That's your success. I was going to say,
yeah,
I bet that you feel all the pride of ownership and motherhood.
I cry.
Oh.
I literally cry.
Oh, dear. Well, I've now nicknamed you my sweet rock, but you know, the Slobin and Slobin study, it's a psycholinguistic study of in the 70s, indicates that 50% of our body language of our communication is body language. 38% is in our tone of voice, which hits directly at accent.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with the now magic of email, that only leaves, 7%?
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to solve the most difficult time in the world's history for human beings with no pun intended, the 7% solution. You know?
Right. And what you're saying about tone, this is very interesting. What Australians and some Canadians do, they make statements, yet they do it as if it's a question. It's sort of a valley girl speech.
Here's an example.
An example of simply, hello, my name's Claudette.
Yeah,
so doesn't that sound like I'm not sure? Hello,
yes.
My name's Claudette. Nice day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually asking you. So
because it's up on the end? Is that
exactly. The end, yeah, it goes up at the end, which is it indicates, are you still with me? Are you following? Just acknowledge, and it forces the person listening to acknowledge with a, yes, and it just makes the person seem a little insecure when they're not.
The person may be insecure, and yet, you know, one of the basic communication techniques is that constant feedback loop you establish with the person you're talking to see if they have heard you the way you have intended to be heard. Because we all have a story going on in our head. You're talking about the mind chatter.
Right.
You know, and of course we're all writing our own minds
in that story.
So often it's, this is what I meant. What did you hear me say? What did you hear me say? I mean, I'm not quite sure I can do it.
Well, you can even do it with an American accent. So it's, you know, I went to the store. And I bought some lettuce.
Really?
And you're continuing having, exactly.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Automatically want to jump in.
Right. And I'm forcing you to jump in.
And I think it's that question mark and silence. People love, I mean, silence is like something that has to be filled. It's the facilitator's best friend.
Yes.
Pause, because groups will fill it if they don't.
Right.
So tell us a little bit, because that gets at, you know, on the surface, okay, you think accents, helping actors prepare for roles, great, but there is a whole lot more to the work you're doing. A whole lot more, too, and we're just begun to scratch the surface. So tell us a little bit about you, you know, your background. I mean, I've read your bio, but it is definitely an interesting life, richly lived. So
yeah, well, I was born in England.
We may have to stop in the middle and take a break, but let's get started on that part.
Okay. I was born in England. And
in England?
I
couldn't read it.
So I talk like this originally. So that was it. And so where I was from, it's called Essex, the county of Essex.
Uh-huh.
And it's a middle working class neighborhood. But growing up, you know, you're watching television, so you're watching the BBC, of course, and so all that's on. And so I had all these accents growing up there, plus, you know, the Irish and the Scottish, just all that.
Yes.
Plus there were a lot of Jamaicans there as well. Then I lived in Montreal, which is an extremely cosmopolitan city, and had to learn to speak
French. I love
French.
Montreal.
It's fun. Great food. Great bagels. Best bagels in the world.
Great shopping.
Shopping. So I had to learn to speak French. And there are, again, as I said, it's a very cosmopolitan city, so there are many types of people there. So even those that are speaking French, you had Moroccans. I had a lot of friends that were Moroccans. Most of my friends growing up in school were Italians. I had Greeks, Egyptians.
So you were surrounded by accents.
Yes, my whole life. And
they're
also in my family.
There was something that drove you, you know, to hear those as very meaningful in the human community.
Right.
We're going to have to pause for just a moment and take a break. But, Claudette, we're going to come back and explore what in your view was that inner magic in your ear that wanted to take something with accents and make it more than just the inflection of words, because it certainly is, and hear more about your astounding history yourself. We'll be right back with Claudette Roche and The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight. Identifying client vision, strategy, and goals. Designing perfect programs and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations. Inspiration. Enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization. Implementation. Pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works. Psst, her personal next best thing? She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com.
The Marsh Engle Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engle Show on the Voice America Business Network.
Two views.
Different topics.
Questions.
Answers.
News.
And advice.
You'll want to check out Ecoman and the Skeptic live from Philadelphia University.
Every week, join hosts Rob Fleming and Chris Pastor as they tackle a different topic on sustainability.
You'll hear all sides of the issue supported by guests who provide valuable insights.
Get ready to be engaged, educated, and entertained when you tune into Ecoman and the Skeptic.
Broadcast live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Enjoying the next best thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to the next best thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. We are having an amazing visit with Claudette Roche, who is accent coach, the most in demand in Hollywood, and yet so much more, works in the corporate world. And right before break, we were telling a bit of her life story that one of the things she taught me was engaging people by making it sound like a question.
Yes, exactly. Force them to participate in your own conversation.
Tell us more. When last we left you before the break, you were in Montreal.
Oh, that's right, in Montreal. Right, very cosmopolitan city. So, grew up with all those sounds. I think I naturally have a good ear as well, though I'm not a wonderful singer, but I have a good ear. So growing up with all these sounds constantly around me, I think really opened it up. And then also I find learning another language and learning to speak it as the natives do opens your ear to new sounds and how to make those new sounds. So I think actually learning French helped my ear. Plus, as a child, I loved phonics. There's a company called Hooked on Phonics.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And growing up in school,
We used the same thing. Believe it or not, I grew up in Texas, and mm-hmm. we used Hooked on Phonics.
Did you? So did we. I loved those days. It was a whole day of phonics.
I did, too.
I'd walk in and those little booklets were on our desk, and I would just be thrilled. All the other kids would roll their eyes, but no, it was a day of phonics. So I love
that. Phonics.
I think Hooked on Phonics is brilliant.
I was the only one that aced classical Latin reading it aloud because of phonics.
Exactly.
When I was in college and graduate school.
Exactly. And then, as I said, so growing up with all these different people, it just opened up my ear. It really did. You know, my first acting teacher, she was Russian, Dora Wasserman from Russia, and I just had it all the time.
Now, but there was something in that ear that was around you, and that sound that spoke to you that said, there's meaning here that needs to come forth and bring, you know, I can be the person that brings mm-hmm. that forward into the world. Tell us, You know, tell us about that part of Claudette.
Well, it's an interesting. It's interesting that you asked.
You didn't think we weren't going to go deeper.
Well, you know, I'm an actress, and I've always been an actress, and I've worked with my accents as an actress. I've used many different accents throughout the years, and I was teaching my friends, my actor friends, different accents. But then I wanted something more, you know, apart from being an actress.
Well, I didn't know what into the more part, you know.
I didn't know what the more would be.
Yeah.
So I decided to do some interesting little adventure. I took my girlfriends out for lunch individually and said, and asked them, what am I good at?
I see.
I didn't give them any parameters, just what am I good at? And so one said, well, you know, you're a very good cook. And I thought, true. And that what, you know, what can I do with that? Oh, have a restaurant. Last thing I want to do is that. So moved on. Anyway, so my fifth friend, my friend Megan, said, well, you're really good with accents. And I said, true. She said, well, why don't you teach accents? And I thought, oh, yes. So I decided to do it on a Tuesday. By Thursday, I had my first client.
Isn't that something? And
well,
how did that happen? Was
friends.
It a networking or?
Exactly. Well, it's the support of really good girlfriends and or just friends that, because sometimes you're not quite sure what you're good at and how you can make money with that.
That's
how
right.
How can you prosper? And quite frankly, I've always had an issue about being an actress and how being an actress is quite, for me, I felt selfish.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
Certain men pointed out to me, well, being an actor is important because you entertain people, and people need to laugh. People need to, and you can also inform them with, and you're doing a film, you can actually inform them something socially relevant. So there is value to being an entertainer. So that is true. But I still wanted more. And so now, as an accent coach, I help people's dreams come true. I help their dreams.
So, I see. Now, that I can see how on an individual basis, because the quote, the illusion that reveals the truth, which is why the human consciousness naturally makes stories. We tell stories that then become either round lunch table conversations or become films or become books or, but we tell stories. We go to bed at night and we sleep. We tell stories. We dream.
Right.
And yet for you, what I'm hearing was just being able to do that was not enough.
Right.
That more for you was using that good ear to help others realize their dreams.
Correct.
And how they spoke. Did I get that right?
Yes, correct. And it's not even, you know,
that's
some people.
That's pretty unique.
I also had, this is a very interesting, this woman.
It's a very
had,
American thing to say, isn't it?
What?
Pretty unique.
I had a woman call me. She had a teenage son who was mildly autistic. And she wanted to support his creativity and get him out. And so she brought him to me because he wanted to learn accents. And she traveled about an hour again, you know, like an hour and a half to come to me for this little boy.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had fun, and it was him just learning an accent, and he was good at it. He was really good at it.
Was he really? Isn't that
amazing?
Yeah,
he was. And so I looked at that and thought, you know, he's never going to get on stage, but, boy, he feels good about himself. He's accomplished something.
Is that one of the ones you cried about?
Yes, of course it is.
Of course, yeah, I was going to say. But and then he left and you cried. And
I did. But I saw him a few times. She made that trek, and then I finally said to her, you know, this is it's gas, it's time. Find something local, you know, locally that's a theater company, something where he can also be with other children.
Mm-hmm. I can see how that would be. So what a difference you made in, you know, one life at a time, so to speak, and that one life will turn around and touch 40, and that 40 will turn around and touch 80. And
Well, it's that whole, you know, pay it forward
pay
sort
it forward
thing. You know,
thing.
You do one nice thing for somebody, and they'll remember, and they'll move on and do the same thing.
We say that, and yet if we take action,
mm-hmm.
if we take action and really stand in that action and do it day in and day after day, it really does make a difference.
Oh,
it really works.
It does.
For those of us who live it day after day,
we
could say, let me tell you the stories.
Well, I was just going to tell you something. This has nothing to do with an accent. Just on my street, I was driving, going to the grocery store, and I noticed someone's car outside their home had a flat tire, and I realized it was the realtor showing the house.
Mm.
So I went to my to the store. When I came back, the car was still there, and I thought, I wonder if she knows, because the last thing she wants to do after she's done a house, you know, an open house is
sure is just.
So I went, put my groceries away, and then crossed the street and went into the open house to tell the realtor that she had a flat tire, and she was stunned that I did that.
Isn't that amazing?
I said, who does that? I said, who does what? You went out of your way to come and tell me that I had a flat tire just in case. And she said, who does that?
You know, we've lost some very basic elements of kindness, helpfulness. You know, I mean, what did it really cost you or take from you to do that simple thing that made such a difference to her?
Exactly.
And if we took that and multiplied it by every human around the world, we would be living in a whole different world.
Yes. I do believe that it's everyone's duty to help each other as much as you can, to whatever, you know, to the best of your ability.
And
even
find
if
those
it,
moments.
You know,
you don't have to let them pass them by. It would have been so easy not to do that.
Pardon?
Not to go into the realtor and say, you have a flat tire, and, you know, realizing that that would incredibly make a difference in the image she presented in her open house.
Mm-hmm.
Or her, him or her. I don't know.
Right, yes.
Now, let's see, anything else about Claudette that we need to know about? You were an actor, an actress, you said.
Well, I'm still an actress.
And you have a sort of penchant for sci-fi, as I understand
oh,
it.
Oh, not really.
No, okay,
now, what?
Well,
it's
never
a
mind.
Job. It was a job.
Well, there are those
it.
Sometimes. You just have to have jobs.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I actually don't have a penchant for sci-fi at all. I guess you're referring to Star Hunter.
Yes.
Sci-fi. Yeah, that was a, you know, it was a job. I never understood any of the scripts. I didn't know what they were talking about. It was just, and where do I stand, and what do I say, and who do I shoot? Him, right? So I shoot him. And no, I had no idea.
Did you play with it at all? Did you do it in different accents? Just to
No, I decided the character would have an English accent. She wasn't written as such, but... I was actually hired because of English or British content.
Mm.
So when they're putting films or TV series together, if it's a co-production, then they want to have actors that represent the money.
I understand.
So there was English money in it. So I went in as an England as
an
a
Englander.
British
person. I mean, although they say the English, and I guess Englanders.
Well, you know, we say we're English, but Americans say we're British. But we don't use the
term
that we're British, we're English.
Hmm. Interesting. We're going to explore this further. And I want to come back when we get back from break. We're going to pause for another brief break. When we come back, we're going to get down to business a little bit more, because I'm going to talk about some of the differences you've made, as you spoke of the autistic child, in the lives of the corporate world, and how the impact on the world at large that has made. So we'll be right back with more of The Next Best Thing, Claudette Roche, one of the most fascinating conversations we've had on the show. I'm your host, Linda C. Thompson.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's. Insight. Identifying client vision, strategy, and goals. Designing perfect programs and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations.
Inspiration.
enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization.
Implementation.
Pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works.
Psst, her personal next best thing?
She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts, and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Freed, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. We are having an amazing discussion with Claudette Roche, who is an accent coach and much, much more, a humanitarian, always wanting to help others. We, before break, shared a story with an autistic child that she was able to, through accents, help connect with others and release this child from his or her own sort of prison of autism. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful moment. So we want to, before break, we said we're going to, like, as I said, get down to business, because you also work in the corporate world and help American leaders with the communicate with corporate executives from other countries, as well as corporate executives in other countries, sort of as a rough sort of way of saying talk American, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Summit that just ended. We have so many issues mm-hmm. that are going on right now. That is such critical work. Tell us about your work there and some of the, you know, the specifics that you've been involved with.
I try to teach two different kinds of American. So I teach the way we really, you know, the average American speaks, as well as teaching proper speech. There's this one particular rule, Hooked on Phonics taught us this, Linda, but it's a rule that's not being taught to younger people, and some older people aren't using it, I guess they never did. The word the before a voweled word or a vowel sounding word becomes the. Mm-hmm. So it's not the apple, the egg, the opera. The apple, the egg, the opera. And so people who come here from different countries, depending on the country, will say the apple, the egg, the opera. Mm-hmm. And so I just alert them to the fact that it should be the before the vowel sounding word. Yet they will notice that some Americans don't use that.
Either.
Yeah.
Or either. Or which is
well,
it?
Well, they're both correct.
Okay, good.
Either, both correct. And actually, I did a little tweet because I love Twitter. And I did a tweet that the word our, as in yours, mine, and our.
Ours, yes.
All right. So O-U-R, by a lot of Americans, they actually don't say our. They say R.
Our.
The letter
yeah.
R.
not our. There's only, I mean, it's almost two syllables, that word, and yet you don't say it that way.
Our is two syllables, and they make it one with R.
Mm.
So I did a little tweet saying, okay, if you want to sound American, ooh, what you do is you say R instead of our. And someone said, that's wrong, and you shouldn't do that, and it's wrong. And I said,
oh,
you know,
my
what?
Goodness.
You're right, but it's an option.
In American business, what would you say percentage-wise? Are there more the Apple, the Opera people, or the Apple, the Opera people?
Again, it depends on where they're from. If
really?
They're... It varies. If they're American-born, more often they're using the Apple without knowing it because they weren't taught it as a rule, but they're using it unconsciously.
Yeah. They picked it up in the surrounding.
Yeah, but some don't. Mm. Some don't. I'm also making them aware of, and it's one that I use, and it's slangy, but, you know, gonna, wanna. I want to
go. Oh, tell us about that. That sounds fun.
Well, you know, we drop the Americans.
Going to or want to.
I always preface foreigners wanting to sound American. I say the first thing is learn of that Americans do not like the letter T. They don't like it. They don't even drink a lot of tea.
We're not going to say it.
So either if there's a T in a word, they'll take it out. Or my battery's going. They'll take it out or replace it with a D, as in butter. Becomes butter.
Butter, yes, better
like
butter.
Now. Hold on. Make sure I don't lose you. Okay.
That's really true.
Yeah, so,
that,
and then, you know, one of my favorites is this new word, the internet.
Which is now the internet?
Now internet. I didn't use any T there at all, not even
there's
at the
no
end.
T's. I think there was barely a D.
Yeah, I didn't use
what
the internet.
What kind of slide?
I just
threw that one,
too. Down, but I didn't say internet.
Yes.
So I teach those variations because they're important. But again, the point is to convey information. How best to convey that information? So if you're speaking to a group of people that are, you know, on your average American, then you really, not that you want to speak down to people, because you never ever should, but you want them to feel comfortable. I had a friend.
It's so good to have friends.
Isn't it? she loves to use words that people don't know. So she'll actually go into the dictionary and pull out words that just are not common. And I would say to her, what's the point of using words that people don't understand?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, people should understand. I said, but these are words that just aren't used on a regular basis, and these are words I've never heard of. But it's also a way to sort of brag about your education or whatever. But
there is a sort of wall of polysyllables to protect
mm-hmm.
yourself or whatever that actually is a communication blocker.
It is.
And I think that in the discussions, I'm thinking about corporate meetings, et cetera, and whether you're using D's or T's, I mean, attuning your ears to the nuances of language in a given organization and their particular culture mm-hmm. is so important if what you want to do is help them be more effective,
mm-hmm.
which is really what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
and help connect with people. I mean, what difference does it make, honestly, if it's a D or a T sound,
exactly.
as
exactly.
long as both people are speaking the same language and understand each other?
Exactly. I have a student, he's in Brazil. He works for FedEx. And he was.
Well, that has a D in it, so we're safe with that
yes,
one.
Yes. And he was working with me because he speaks to a lot of Americans because of his job, and he wanted to make sure that, or he wanted, I'll just take the T out, he wanted his clients to understand him or to understand him. So I taught him. Very average speak. For example, this is a tiny little thing, Linda, but the average American and the average Brit does not say to. We don't go to do anything. Mm-hmm. It's to.
Mm.
And it's not tonight or today or tomorrow. It's today, tonight, tomorrow.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But
we know what we mean.
Here,
as long as we both,
English
everyone knows what we mean, I think.
Yeah, but it's perfectly correct to say ta,
yes.
today, tonight, tomorrow.
perfectly lovely. But again, people who learn English as a second language learn it
Well, they're listening to tapes or they're learning it from books. I mean, they're learning a kind of classic
right.
that
and
is
so
not
they know the word
idiomatically
is
correct.
Two. So therefore, they are going to use it properly in their mind. So they are going to do all these lovely things. So so my goal is, I teach them both ways so that they can make that choice.
And the choice being probably how the choice of what is the, you know, how proper is the group or individual that you need to connect with, because you do want to do that mirroring thing that helps you really create understanding.
Correct.
You know, the accents, the language, the meaning, the words.
Correct.
The goal for those is understanding.
I have a client, and she needed to make a speech to teenagers. And
I'm frightened to hear the words that are going to be used. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So she came to me with her speech. And, you know, she started off and I said to her, I'm already bored. I'm bored and I'm not a teenager. You have to engage me. Oh, you have to engage me. So we threw in some rap. I found some great Eminem lyrics. We put those in.
Of course.
And we had all these hip references. And she got a standing ovation from me.
Don't you love that? Again, an example that their success is your success, mm-hmm. which speaks very highly of you. I'm going to stand up and applaud and give everyone in Radio Land, stand up and applaud Claudette right now. So, okay, so you just got your standing ovation.
Thank you. Thank you. I live for that.
Oh, that is just wonderful. I am wanting to... I just can't resist this. There is such an impressive list of dialects in your website, and I so want to hear some.
Yes.
So can you pick out some favorites of your
accents? Yeah, my absolute favorite, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because my first acting teacher was Russian. Is Russian, and so I do Russian, and I love it. He's one of the best accents that I teach, and I love.
I wish I could. My natural inclination is to start mimicking you, but I would be so clumsy with it.
Da. So Russian is one that I do. I teach a lot.
Russian. Yes. It's almost like you have to hear it and then just let it sink.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts coming out, and then you, being the expert, shape it.
Right. Yes, And I also advocate to immerse whomever is working with me, to immerse their ears with the sound. So as they're in their car, make sure you're listening to, I don't care if it's Russian and you don't understand a word they're saying, listen to how they're speaking Russian.
Interesting.
You know, so... That's one that of course the English, so there's that.
Like Eliza Doolittle Cockney, just a little bit.
Well, it is like that, you know, that's how I talk. And so, TH has become F, and my mother, so that TH becomes a V. So,
that's wonderful.
Which a lot of my family still does. So, and also, this is my favorite thing. Is not to use any final L's.
Really?
Yeah. Can't be bothered. Yeah. So it's I don't eat an apple. I eat an apple. Because they're delicious, aren't they? Yeah, they are. So that's one of my favorites because that's my natural or my original accent. And then, Irish.
I was going to say, I can hear a distinct difference between an Irish accent and a Scottish accent. I couldn't do it for the life of me, a Scottish accent.
Well, the Scots, they roll their R's, and they're a little harder on certain consonants.
Well, since I have read here, we're going to have to come back to Scotland and Ireland in just a moment. But we're going to pause just a second, take a quick break, and talk more with Claudette Roche on how words and meanings and accents and dialects, which we haven't gotten to, and the difference between them, can really help us communicate as a human species and solve our world's problems. We'll be right back with more of The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson.
voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
TriEye is passionate about our credibility and the reputation of our clients. We build long-term value-added relationships, optimize social capital and bottom-line results. TriEye features the three I's.
Insight.
Identifying client vision, strategy, and goals. Designing perfect programs and invigorating individuals, teams, organizations.
Inspiration.
Enlivening vision, strategy, and goals in the heart, mind, spirit of all in the organization.
Implementation.
Pragmatic results, outcomes, and plans for follow-through. For follow-up and an assessment of our success, visit TRIIST.com today. Acclaimed author, playwright, poet, singer, actor, and beauty, Linda C. Thompson is the double, triple threat. You can anticipate a stunning performance in her next three books already in the works.
Psst, her personal next best thing?
She's in training to be a horse whisperer. For more information about Linda C. Thompson and to view her blogs, check out her podcasts and connect with her community, visit www.lindasworlds.com. Again, that's lindasworlds.com. There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yay!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enjoying The Next Best Thing with host Linda C. Thompson, a show that sorts out this confusing, complex world by keeping you one step ahead of the game. Let's continue our discussion. Here's Linda C. Thompson.
Welcome back to The Next Best Thing. I'm your show host, Linda C. Thompson. We've been having a fascinating discussion with Claudette Roche, who's the accent coach. We've been talking about how an accent can change an autistic child's life, can make a difference in how corporate leaders and executives make decisions and are able to communicate with each other. There is so much substance in accents and how we hear each other and communication and meaning. Now we're having some fun. And going through different accents, which is delightful to me. So, Claudette, we're going to really put you on the spot here. Right before the break, I said, I have red hair. The truth is it's strawberry blonde. But so I'm some mutt version of Irish and German and Scottish. And, gosh, I'm originally from Texas, so who knows what. But so a little Irish, please, 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 please.
Oh, sorry. But just a little. Well, my grandfather spoke as Irish, that was James Roche. So I have a love for that one. It's great. I just think it's so pretty. It's so light, and it doesn't have to be. It can also be quite flat. But this one, I just think is lovely. I think it's as lovely as people think that French or Italian is nice. Well, I think Irish is beautiful. Beautiful.
Can I just sit here? Will you just talk for, like, read the phone book in Irish accent?
Need a wee drink. Then maybe.
I think for Western ears, something like a Chinese accent or some of the Eastern accents might be more difficult. What do you do there? Can you hear, what's your favorite?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I've had a number of Asian Americans, actors, who need to sound Asian. But because they're from here, they don't know how.
So they come to me and I teach my Asian students, Asian American students, how to sound Asian. So one of them is...
That is funny. I mean, I can understand it, but it is funny.
Well, I think it's beautiful. And because it's all tonal, the Chinese accent, it's more like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
I'm understanding you completely. It's very... and yet, at the same time, I'm picturing it because it's a syllabic pictorial language in many ways.
It's very tonal because Chinese, for example, it's all tone. Mm. So depending on how you say one sound, one word, if you will, your tone, there are like, I can't remember, five tones, three tones? If you use the wrong tone, it means a completely different thing. So if you're trying to say dog, and if you use the wrong tone, you're saying which. For example, or
really,
yeah.
So, what's the tone for dog?
That's why the tone. That's why they're very tonal. So,
yeah.
They can be up here and then be down there because they're using that tone.
What's the tone for dog?
I don't know. I don't speak Chinese.
Oh, okay.
but again, this is another accent that I grew up with because I also have Chinese in my family.
Isn't that something?
What don't I have in my family?
I know. There we are. That's why we're all so American and we're such melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
Except I'm being very crisp with my T's when I should be D's if I'm American, right?
Yes, yes. Make everything a D or...
Yes, I'm melted. No, not quite that. Not quite that. Not quite that D-ish. How about... Now, I can hear it. There is no way I'd ever be able to do this. Scottish and Scotland and Ireland are very close together. They share a history, and yet their accents and their native tongue, having done some consulting work in London and heard people speak the old Celtic language, it's just fascinating to me. A little Scottish.
Let me think. I've got to get into that. You know.
I know. That was really tough. I don't know about
it's
you.
It's a little bit harder. They're going to roll their R's, so they roll it. And it's a little bit more tacky than the Irish.
It isn't it? It's kind of like, not quite guttural, but you just hit those consonants hard.
Yes. Yeah, and it's like, you know, the Cockney, if you will. It's, you know, if I'm talking like this, well, I'm attacking certain consonants as opposed to, you know, more proper English accent. Not proper, I keep using that word, and I hate using that word. But what is considered a received pronunciation. And it's just a softer sound, so I'm softer on my consonants.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point in that if the goal here with accent is for people to understand each other, they're going to be making certain assumptions and evaluations and, you know, there's always the sort of meta communication that's going on around the words that are spoken, which is who am I to you and who are you to me and what is the meaning here and what is the relationship that's happening, even in the language, even if we're doing business together or whatever it is. And if people are speaking a proper accent, they're going to be giving a certain message.
Yes, and that's so unfortunate. But we're a very class, you know, even though, you know, Americans aren't normally known as class societies, you know, the class society,
it does exist here.
So I have students here from New York who want to get rid of their New York accent because people think a certain thing of them because they're talking like this. Whereas, you know, they're extremely intelligent, and I love this accent, but because they say, you know, coffee, door, whatever.
Yeah, that's almost just like coffee.
So because they're talking like this, they don't want to talk like this, so they come to me to sound more standard. And also people from the South. I have quite a few students from southern United States, and, you know, the tendency is for some people to assume that the southern accent makes them sound uneducated, which just makes me livid.
I know. If you're from the South, you must be stupid.
Yeah, and I resent that so much. But they realize, those that realize, sometimes that's a hindrance for them. So they come to me to lose their southern accent. So they don't want to say, ah, fly, cats, you know, hams,
that's cat. Right. Well, ah, fly, cat, really high.
All the eyes are, you know, become eyes, so I amend that. But the point isn't, I also don't use the term accent reduction. You have to acquire, you learn a new one.
So you don't ever really have to lose your original accent. You just acquire something else.
You know, an anecdote of when I was doing consulting work with a company in the Northeast, and there was a manager who was from the Bronx, but he was Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine that accent when he spoke Spanish?
Mm-hmm. When he spoke Spanish or English?
When he spoke Spanish with a Bronx/Brooklyn accent.
Right.
That was really, that was one of the most memorable.
Well, you hear it, you know, Rosie Perez, Jennifer Lopez. Rosie is from the Bronx, and so when she speaks Spanish, she's got the Bronx thing happening, but she also has, when she's speaking English, she's got that Puerto Rican thing happening.
It's really amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have covered a lot of ground, Claudette, and I really, I want to encourage everyone to visit www.theaccentcoach.com, learn more about Claudette, use her services. Communication between us is so important at this time in our history, and we must learn to communicate with each other in order to solve the very challenging problems we're living through.
And respect each other. We have to respect.
Respect and help each other.
Yes, and help each other.
Absolutely. So, Claudette, I can't thank you enough for being with us. We'll stay in contact.
Yes, we will.
We certainly will. Next week, you can expect our Valentine show. Dr. Majid Ali will be back. We had him when he was physician hat. Now he's going to come back with poet hat on. And we are going to have health and oxygen and love all connected in poetry next week. So you want to be sure and tune in to The Next Best Thing. I'll be here, your show host, Linda C. Thompson. And Claudette, thank you again for so very much sharing your time with us.
My pleasure.
Thanks again for joining us for The Next Best Thing. Linda C. Thompson will be back for another exciting edition next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, have the best week.